I'm interested in the process that you took to get the issue of what happened to the CFMEU onto the NTU agenda and how you persuaded people to support a pro-CFMEU anti-administration stance. When the issue of federal government legislation to put the CFMEU into administration came about, you did see this as being a quite anti-union, didn't you?
Oh, definitely, definitely. It was an attack on all unions. I think it's an incredibly anti-union and anti-worker piece of legislation that the Labor Party have shoved in.
Yeah, and there's this sense of business as usual, you know, that the ACTU and other unions are still getting along doing their stuff as if this isn't really a problem. But it is a problem, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. And what there, I think, what I think is the most disturbing element about it is that they're focusing primarily on, yes, issues around misogyny, etc., which we know is, you know, an important issue. But what they're totally missing the point on is, one, the precedent that this is setting for other unions, and two, the attempt to crush a very powerful left-wing union that is one of the most dangerous jobs in the country, and they protect those workers. So yeah, I think the ACTU and the broader white-collar union movement, if I'm honest, they're completely missing the mark in what their reactions have been to this.
Now, you actually worked very hard within your union to bring this to the attention to the council meeting, right?
Yes. Did you want me to tell you a little bit about that?
Yeah, can you? Because it wasn't a slam dunk. You had to work very hard to make this come to the agenda and also to get an outcome.
Yes. So essentially what happens is around October, once a year, the councillors, so elected councillors, as well as the national executive and the state executives, we all get together to essentially determine and vote on policy that the union adopts. And so the policy is sort of wide ranging from social issues, things around, let's say, gender critical ideology, for example, as well as industrial issues, questions around bargaining priorities and those sorts of things. So when the cutoff was to put motions forward was actually quite early. It was a few months before a lot of this had really sort of taken shape and form and before the legislation had been implemented. So we'd missed the cutoff to formally move the motion and debate it. So what we had to then do is put it through as an emergency motion, which essentially meant that it was almost up to the discretion of the president and the executive about whether or not it was going to be debated or discussed at all. So what we did was, and this is, you know, comrades at in Sydney, in New South Wales, really drove this because they had, you know, we had moved a motion in the out La Trobe and at other universities in support of the CFMEU and in opposition to the administration. But what the New South Wales sort of caucus or division of the NTU did was that they passed a motion at a state level and we took that motion through to the National Council. But that was on the very, very last day. So it was a very, very tense couple of days of trying to negotiate with executives, the national president and people from other states to really put pressure on the national executive to allow us to debate this motion. And it almost didn't happen. They almost tried to squash it. But in the end, there was just an overwhelming sense in the room that this was a really important issue, a bread and butter union issue that we needed to debate and vote on. So in the end, we ended up debating it and then we passed a motion. So we were the first white collar union, I believe, nationally to oppose the administration.
Congratulations. And was there a sense that there was a division between the broader membership and the executive?
Oh, 100%. And what was very interesting was at the beginning, they tried to essentially quash the motion from taking place or from debate. So there was a motion put forward to actually, so there was a motion put forward by the president, sorry, by the National Secretary of the NTU to push all of the existing motions out of council because it was the very last day. And what he proposed would happen was that all of those motions, the CFMEU one in particular, would get sent to the National Executive privately to vote on. So he put that motion forward, and it was amazing scenes. We had a Pacifica, really staunch Pacifica unionist from Swinburne University get up and say and talk about how this is essentially an attack on her community. We had a LIFE member get up from New South Wales who said, you know, that this is my first council as a LIFE member that we've been voted on. We have to talk about this. We had comrades from New South Wales vote, and then essentially when the National Executive realised that they were going to lose this motion to defer discussion, they then voted in favour of the substantive motion, which was to oppose the CFMEU. So it was a little bit of politics playing.
Okay, and then what was the, are you in a position to talk a little bit about what were the points of discussion?
Oh, yeah, I think that's fine to talk about. I've got no issue with it. I mean, I think this is spoken about all across. I mean, the main issue, points of discussion, look, there were lots of people in support eventually. There were people that felt that they didn't have enough time to debate the motion. They didn't have enough time to consult with their members about whether or not they were in support or not, which I really, to be perfectly honest, I think that was just a way to try and put off actually voting on this motion. There was less of a on the floor, the sort of formal debate. The concerns were less apparent there. But when I was doing a lot of negotiation in the days leading up to the vote to try and convince folks and comrades to support this motion, the main issue was, which is what the ACTU line sort of is this idea of, you know, misogyny within the CFMEU, criminality and corruption, as opposed to a broader conversation around some of the issues with the construction sector as a whole, and the fact that the CFMEU are one of the staunchest supporters of sort of women's rights and women's in construction within the construction sector.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, isn't it? A thing that's really interesting to me is that the level of politics and planning that has gone behind the scenes, and how much this affects the character of the fight for labour rights.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think it's what I, and something that I said when I spoke to this motion, it was actually a really great, you know, I feel really good about the aftermath of this. We had a really great, teamwork from different comrades across different states to get this motion up, and they said, we think it's really important that, you know, that you speak to this, because I was really passionate about this as a, you know, woman from Victoria, and I said, you know, I was saying that what I see is the biggest issue with this is that it's splintering the labour movement in this country, and we're seeing a broader fracturing between sort of traditionally working class or blue collar unions and white collar unions, and I think that's really concerning as well. Not just the Labor Party, but the response by the ACTU and the way that other unions are just sort of accepting and rolling over.
Yeah, it's interesting too that the distinction between white collar and blue collar is so ridiculous these days, considering that, say, universities, for example, could almost be called sweatshops because of the casualisation.
Yeah, I mean, it's times are tough at universities at the moment as well. We're getting job cuts left, right and centre. Like, I mean, I'm not sure what's going to happen with my contract for Jen's next month. But, you know, what we are talking about is, you know, when and what I was sort of saying is that, yes, we're treated poorly, we're exploited, but workers ultimately, with this administration, workers will die. So it's more than just sort of, you know, EBAs getting rolled back. It's conditions deteriorating and it's bosses taking advantage of it. And so the kind of implications for this administration is what we were trying to really drill into folks when we were voting on this, is that it's more than just a discussion around, you know, the treatment of women. It's actually what's going to happen to workers who will be injured and will be killed.
Do you think that this brings to the fore the difference between all the use of identity politics to undermine the solidarity that's required within the class structures that we live in?
I think so. I think it's the weaponization of it to a degree. And I think, I mean, it's something I've been thinking about, so I don't want, I mean, this is all sort of I guess I can say to you, not with too much confidence, but it's what I've been thinking, the weaponization of identity politics and the lack of critical thought, and the use of identity politics to kind of mask personal gripes is what something that I've also noticed, the kind of personality wars between folks in maybe the ACTU and the CFMEU, all those sorts of things are sort of masked under the guise of misogyny, whereas we know we had our forum held by the amazing folks at Philet at the Greek Democracy League the other month, and there was a woman CFMEU delegate. She said she's experienced a lot of misogyny in the construction sector, but never from CFMEU. They have been the ones that have supported her, upheld her rights. They've been ensuring that she's been able to get access to flexible hours to look after her kid in childcare. So, I mean, when we're looking at what is coming out of the mouths of the ACTU and others, and what we're actually hearing from CFMEU women, they're very, very different.
I have had it said to me that this particular administration and legislation is actually, and the behind-the-scenes stuff has been incredibly personal as opposed to ideological.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've sort of heard too, and it does feel like that when you're having conversations with more senior folks. There does tend to be I never liked John Setka, et cetera, et cetera. There were sort of personal gripes, and then I would say, well, with all due respect, what does that have to do with the legislation that's currently being placed? I do find it, I mean personal politics happens everywhere, but it's I guess the most concerning thing is the way that that's sort of been masked, and then the justification is this broader push for women's rights, etc. That's to me, that's not on.
Well, you know, this is just an aside really, that pointing the finger at the CFMEU is for criminality after there having been several royal commissions that have had actually found nothing, and then not looking at the developers or even government for versions of corruption seems to be very one-sided, and opening the door for an expansion of corruption from other sources.
Oh, 100%. And if we look at the sort of reactions to even the report that was published a couple of months ago, was it the KC who published this report that had been commissioned by the CFMEU before all of this had come out in the first place, who noted that there's widespread violence throughout the entire construction sector, that there's a cycle of violence throughout. And that's obviously been totally glazed over and ignored by the ALP and by the government and by the media, but more concerningly, it's been glazed over by, the ACTU.
Yeah, and I suppose the final thing is you've proven that it is absolutely essential for members to actually be very active.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. I mean, look, I think that there's different. Each union has incredibly different, complex sort of structures. I've been a national councillor along with others for about 4 years now. I've been going to these councils every year, so I had an idea about the kind of personal politics, the individuals, what we should do, what we could do, all of that sort of stuff. But I think, as an aside, it's really important, particularly if we're in these sort of, what we would call white collar or whatever we'd like to call it, unions, to do more in terms of pushing our executives, because we're sort of falling in line with the ACTU, and that's just, it's not really acceptable given the implications of this legislation. So, I mean, anyone's free to get in touch with me or other folks in the NTEU. If you're in Sydney, there were some amazing comrades there who were driving some of this as well. I think we just need to start doing the work.
Thanks very much for talking to me, Emily.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.